Well, I guess it's my turn. We thank God for the blessing for each one and every one of us. When I was about 10 years old, I was playing outside one day, and when an old man walked up to me and said, "You're going to be a preacher." And as I began to walk away, I stopped and turned back and to ask this man, "How do you know this?" But the man was nowhere in sight. The word prophesied means foretold or predicted. We all heard the story of the prophet Ezekiel, who prophesied to the dry bone. In Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, verse 1 through 14. Now, I have preached this sermon about 5 years ago. And today, I'm preaching it to all new faces now. I see a few here 5 years ago when I preached this sermon. But you know, every time that you preach a sermon once, twice, and two or three or more, there's always a blessing for someone to receive. So some of you might say, "Oh, I heard that sermon before," but just think of the others. They are here to receive a blessing. The prophet Ezekiel had the thankless job of proclaiming God's message on a crowded and hostile street of Babylon. At the same time that Jeremiah was warning the citizens of Jerusalem of the coming destruction of that holy city, Ezekiel was preaching the same message to the exile in Babylon. Even though these exiles were hundreds of miles away from the promised land and the temple, God would not leave them in the dark. Instead, he sent Ezekiel to warn, exhort, and comfort the weary exile. Ezekiel prophesied between the years 593 and 571 BC and was a contemporary of the prophet Daniel. Some scholars believe that this reference in this very first verse of the book, the 30th year, was probably an indication of his age. 30 was also when a priest could begin ministering. It was at age 30 when Jesus began his ministry. Joseph began to rule over Egypt, and David began his reign. This fascinating prophecy of the dry bones in Ezekiel had something for everybody. First of all, he was speaking primarily to his fellow captives among the children of Israel. By this time in history, the 10 tribes of Judah of Israel has been so widely scattered among the surrounding nation, and they seem all but lost as a people. The tribe of Judah, Benjamin, and Levi had just been conquered and carried away captive to Babylon. It looks as if their national identities was forever gone and they was never again returned to their promised land. Ezekiel's purpose of this vision was to inspire them with hope that God would someday revive them as a nation. In addition, this prophecy speaks about what God would do for spiritual Israel, which is the church today. The theme of the vision is that God can resurrect dry bones. He can give literal life to that which is dead. It is a message that he can revive his people and turn them into a mighty army. Most of all, it speaks to us individually. No matter how dried up and worthless we may feel, or how dead in trespasses and sin, God can restore us to life through his word and spirit. In Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, the first verse, Ezekiel began his account with these words: "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones." Picture the scene for a moment. Ezekiel was carried out in the spirit and taken to an obscured valley. This valley is more than 1,300 feet below sea level, located near the Dead Sea. This area is very low and very dry, where Sodom and Gomorrah used to be. Everywhere on every side were dead men's bleached bones. In this gruesome vision, Ezekiel was surrounded with a countless number of bleached bones from this slain multitude. Now keep in mind that when an army was defeated in battle in Bible times, the victorious soldiers would often strip the valuables from the slain and then leave the enemy bodies unburied. In remote places where there had been serious battle, skeletons sometimes remained for years afterward until the beasts of carrion completely scattered the bones or they surrendered to the elements. Ezekiel lived at a time when one could find literal valleys of bones, place where the slain enemies had been overwhelmed and there was no one to bury them. In the Bible, a corpse not properly buried was considered to be accursed by God. This image also has a lot of relevance for us. The Bible tells us that just after the Lord comes, the surface of the earth will remain destroyed for 1,000 years. The earth will be a wilderness scattered with the corpse of the lost. Cities will be broken down, and nobody will be there to mourn or to bury them. In Jeremiah, the 25th chapter, verse 33, it says, "And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth." This entire world is going to be a dark valley of dry bones that will someday come to life for judgment. Ezekiel was not only a prophet of God, but he was also a priest. The poor guy was placed in the midst of this valley of bones, and he said that the Lord caused me to pass by them. Can you imagine walking around ankle deep in the bones of dead men? Most likely it made the prophet very uncomfortable. How undesirable it must have been for Ezekiel to be placed even in vision in this gruesome field of death. The Bible said these bones were very dry. However, you can't stick a dry bone in water and expect it to come back to life. Even if you fertilize it and water it for 100 years, it will never live again. So these dry bones symbolize a situation that looked completely hopeless. Remember that this vision was given as a lesson, not only for a nation or for the church, but also for us individual. These dry bones represent people. The Bible says in 1 John, the 5th chapter, verse 12, "He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life." If a person does not have Jesus, his bones are bleached, white, and dry. Just as water brings the dry earth to life, God's word and living water of his spirit will bring dry soul new life. Isaiah, the 44th chapter, verse 3 says, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and flood upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring." Vision, the 2nd chapter, verse 1 says, "And you has he quickened, who was dead in trespasses and sin." If sin still reigns in our lives, if we still controlled by a life of sin, then we are spiritually dead. We are as good as dry bones. Thankfully, God can revive dry bones. In Luke, the 15th chapter, verse 24, the father said unto the prodigal son, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Spiritually, he was as dead as dry bone, but God brought him to his knees and restored him to his senses. In the vision, God asked Ezekiel a question. He said, "Son of man, can these bones live?" The prophet replied, "O Lord God, thou knows." God knows everything. He doesn't ask us questions because he became absent-minded. He asks in order to get us to think and to analyze the situation. Isaiah, the first chapter, the 18th verse says, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord." Suppose you was the first to the scene of an accident, and you saw somebody lying motionless on the ground. You might think perhaps there is hope. You would probably even do a little CPR and try to revive this person. But if you saw a skeleton lying in the road, you wouldn't even think twice to try to revive the skeleton. You will say, "It's just dead bones. There is no hope." What God wants us to learn from this is that nothing is too hard for him. What may appear hopeless and dead to you and me is a field full of possibility for the Lord. When Mary asked, "How can this be?" the angel Gabriel told her, "Nothing is impossible with God." And when the disciple asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus said, "With men, it is impossible. With God, all things are possible." The Bible is saying that without Christ, we can't do anything. But through Christ, all things are possible, even if it appears that a situation is hopeless. Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter and the 4th verse says, "Where there is life, there is hope." Next, God said to Ezekiel, "Prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Suppose you was walking down the street one day and you saw a man preaching to a skeleton. What would you think? Preaching to dry bone would seem like a waste of time. A skeleton just isn't listening. But we sometimes forget the incredible vital power of God's word. If God can speak matters into existence with just a word, if he can make a man out of clay or a woman out of a rib, then it stands to reason that he can also cause the spiritually dead to hear. God's word is so potent and so powerful that it infused new life into that which appeared dead. Whenever the Lord speaks, things happen. When Jesus said to the leopard, "Be cleansed," he was immediately clean. When Jesus said, "Get up and walk," to a man who had not walked in 38 years, the man walked. There is always power in the word of God to enable us to do whatever he commands. In Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, the 5th verse says, God said, "Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live." Bones are almost always associated with death. Yet scripture tells one story in which bones were a source of life. In 2 Kings, the 13th chapter, verse 20 and 21, we find that Elijah the prophet, who was filled with a double portion of Elijah's spirit, was so spirit-filled that his bones radiated life
even after he was dead. The Bible says that after Elijah died and was buried, some men in Israel was performing a funeral ceremony for one of their friends. As they was carrying his remains out to bury him, they caught a glimpse of Moabite raiders on horseback. These land pirates had been searching the countryside, robbing and killing. And the Israelite men knew that they needed to get out of there fast, or they will be the next victim. They didn't want to be disrespectful towards the friend they was burying, but they had to run for their lives. The Bible says in 2 Kings, the 13th chapter, verse 21, that they cast the man into the grave of Elijah. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elijah, the man was revived and stood up on his feet. There are also many modern days examples of how bones can give life. In its June 1997 issue, Reader's Digest told about a family in which the daughter contracted a form of leukemia that would ultimately kill her unless she received a bone marrow transplant. Because she had an unusual blood type, it was very difficult to find a donor. So her parents did something that was almost unbelievable. They began praying to have another child with the same rare blood type. They hoped this second child, after a short time, would be able to provide the bone marrow needed for their daughter with leukemia. Things was somewhat complicated by the fact that this was an older couple and the man had already had a vasectomy. Not only would doctors need to reverse that, which is a iffy procedure in itself, but their new baby would need to have the same rare blood type as the older sister. The man's surgery was a success. The couple was able to conceive again, and they gave birth to a second daughter who had the appropriate blood type. After 14 months, the little girl provided enough bone marrow from her hip to give a transplant that saved her older sister's life. There is life in the bone. Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, verse 7 said, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bone came together, bone to his bone. Toe bone connected to the foot bone connected to the ankle bone connected to the knee bone connected to the hip bone connected to the back bone connected to the shoulder bone, okay? The hand, the elbow, and the shoulder, they all connected themselves together. And finally, the skeleton has come together. When God's people preach the truth, it is going to cause a rattling. Things are going to happen. Sometimes it brings a revival. At other times, it arouses opposition or persecution. Sometimes both. But I guarantee that when the truth is faithfully proclaimed, there is going to be a whole lot of shaking. After the bone came together in their appropriate position and Ezekiel continued preaching, the Bible says physical strength and tendon began to take their places. Next, the skin was put in position. Notice that God was doing things in order. He did not say, "Let's put all the flesh together. Okay, now let's see if we can squeeze the skin inside the bone. Now, let's put the muscle on the outside." That would have been messed up. In other words, frightening. God always does things in their proper order, whether it is rebuilding his church or reviving us individually. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, verse 40, Let all things be done decently and in order. Peter tells us that growing in Christ is also a process with order. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 5 through 7 says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. At this point, all the body parts were in their proper place. The bone, muscle, and skin were in position, but still there was no life. The brain was in the head, but it wasn't thinking. The lung was in the chest, but the body wasn't breathing. The heart was in place, but it was not beating. Each soldier was a perfect lifeless corpse. So now Ezekiel is surrounded not with thousands of disconnected bones, but with an army of cold, lifeless bodies. They might have everything in place, but there are no spiritual life. In Revelation, the third chapter, in the first verse, Jesus says of them, I know thy work, that thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead. Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, in the 10th verse, says, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. God gives them life to fight. They become an army. In the same way, God gives us spiritual life so we become soldiers in his army. He breathes into us the breath of life so we may be able to stand up and fight. Zechariah, the 4th chapter and the 6th verse, describes the battle plan. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. After World War II, tens of thousands of Japanese soldiers and civilians was killed in Japan. And today, 55, 60 years later, teams of volunteers may be still combing the region, searching for the bones of individuals who disappeared. It's very important for the survivors to be able to identify their missing relative. By far, they have found less than half of the people. How much better to be involved in bringing life to bones that really can't live, to people who can experience new life by virtue of the word of God and the spirit of God. In verse 11, God says to Ezekiel, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our part. Have you ever felt cut off? Dried up, or even hopeless? Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, verse 1 through 14, is a vision of hope. It is a wonderful message that God's word and his spirit can bring life to any situation and to any soul, no matter how utterly dead and hopeless it might be. Perhaps you remember the story where the dry, dead rod of Aaron came to life. After being placed in the ark of God, overnight it budded, flowered it, and produced almonds. If God can make an old stick fruitful in his presence, he can do the same for us. As a church, God can revive us and make us an army that will be part of his end-time remnant. Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, verse 12 through 14, tells us that God's people will be raised up and brought into the promised land. There will be a resurrection of the righteous someday soon, and we will live in that new earth, in the new Jerusalem. But even before that, the Lord wants to rise up an army of spirit-filled people who will expand his kingdom. The message is that God can bring new life to our dry bone situation. God bless you.